That's right. A little being in the South here. We're in Greenwood, South Carolina, and we are down at the newly remodeled, beautiful Inn on the Square. I happen to have the general manager, and he said the chief cook and bottle washer. I understand that. Jim McGinnis, how are you doing today?
Alive and well. How are you?
It's an early morning and a late night last night, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We kind of closed up about 1 o'clock and then came back around 6 to get it going again.
Isn't it exciting to have all this activity with the Inn on the Square being part of the Symetra Tour and the Legends? And, of course, the Legends are staying here at the Inn on the Square. Isn't it exciting?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of activity going on. We had the three-ring circus last night. We had a wedding party, a 70-birthday party. We had a bunch of the Legends in the bar. Having fun, so.
And we had dinner last night. We were in the grotto.
Grotto.
In the grotto.
In the private room where you can misbehave yourself.
Yes, we did. But, Jim, you've been involved in this project since it's been bringing it back to life here. How has it been to bring the Inn back to life? We are just thrilled that it is back in part of Greenwood again, but how's it been?
It's been pretty exciting. When I first got here, it was a very lonely place. It was empty. There was nothing upstairs, very cold and dry. And as we developed the property, it brought back its own character and formed into what we have right now. It's been fun.
Well, yes, you were telling me before we came on the air about how, of course, Lander had had it before and there'd been students here. So it was in a little bit different situation than it is today.
Oh, yeah. The students had themselves some fun without Mom and Dad being around. But once we ended up getting the construction going and starting to, you know, put the rooms back together again, all new bathrooms in the building, it changed slowly but surely. And then my partner's wife, Kathy, came up and she started getting into all of the decorations and she just had herself a ball.
I guess we could say she went to town.
She definitely went to town. So everybody really enjoys when Kathy comes here because it's a special events house. So anytime that we have special events, she'll come up and she'll decorate for like the Mother's Day, the derby party that we're having this evening. The race goes off at 6:30, and she's got all the hats and the prizes and stuff. So it's been very entertaining.
That's right. I think that is a fabulous idea. I didn't wear a hat today, but I'm actually a very big hat person. So this is truly exciting to have an event where you can kind of dress up in all your finest attire if you'd like and wear a hat and win prizes too.
Yeah, and on top of that, a few mint juleps to just kind of kick the party on and get it going. It's all the hats are going to be really something else because just on the social media, we've been getting a lot of response saying, okay, what can I and what can't I? And so the sky's the limit on the hats. So it should be interesting tonight.
I also understand you have some mighty fine bourbons in the bar.
Yes, we have some mighty fine bourbons. Also, we've got this a little mold that makes ice balls. So it's a unique way of actually serving it. And right now we have our mint growing on the shelf so that it is fresh mint and we're picking it right there.
You know, I believe you are also a chef and you've had the experience to be in a lot of different places. You graduated from, where did you graduate from?
I graduated in 79 from the Culinary Institute in New York.
So what was the theme? Because I've noticed the food is absolutely delicious. What was the theme in putting all the food together here?
Well, actually what we did is that we just let all the local talent do what they do best. And so between David Epps, who is a well-known chef in town here, he had full reign of the kitchen, the design of the menu, and so we just let him roll with it. Claire Griffin, who has been a local that worked over at Lander's in the catering department, she came over and she threw her ideas in there from, you know, just all the local stuff. So, yeah, you let the professionals do what they do best. And we've been very lucky.
Yes, I happen to tell you, I love the lamb here. I think it's fabulous.
Oh, yeah, that's one of his signature items. David's very proud of what he does. So, and he's very into the local market here in on the square, and so he goes over and he picks up all his fresh produce, you know, when the market's open, and we participate a lot in that fresh market, so that's his MO. That's
his MO. Now, let me tell you, what are you looking at futuristically for the Inn on the Square? What's the plan?
Well, actually, I think as far as our structure is concerned, we're just how to utilize the structure as best as we can. We've got a lot of support from the community. There's a lot of the church groups that come in and, you know, have been supporting us. The city itself has been just incredible from the very beginning. We find that there's a lot of business clientele and opportunities here, so we're going to cater to the business people and then also all the local groups. So there's a lot of room for expansion and growth here.
You know, I got to say something about your Sunday brunch, too. It's pretty awesome, I'm telling you, and very affordable, I might add.
Yeah, right. Actually, the Sunday brunch is just, it's a keystone for us. And that was one of the things that we started out right now for Mother's Day. We probably get well over 700 reservations just for the Mother's Day. And it's spectacular. I mean, we make one big room as awesome as we can. And again, it's call Kathy when you want a decoration, because there she is and she's got us all set up. It's pretty cool.
We could say she's an over-the-top person.
She's just incredible. Everybody turns around and says, oh, Kathy's coming. What's she bringing? You know, so they're very excited about her when she gets here.
Well, that's great. One last question. What was the Inn on the Square years and years and years ago?
Well, actually, it was two separate buildings. And what they had was they had an alley that went between the buildings. The city condemned the alley, and then they built the hotel from it. But there's all kinds of different buildings. There was a Firestone tire place. There was a garage. There was a carriage house out back. There was a funeral home in here, furniture. So it's had quite a variety, and there's been a lot of character involved in that.
You'll have to get more history on this. This could be fascinating. Just think if you were staying in the Firestone room.
Yeah, really.
Or in the funeral room.
Well, you know, there is a little bit of a rumor about the fact that we've got some, you know, very friendly ghosts that come and visit us. So, you know, who knows where they came from.
Well, that sounds great. I know you want to invite everybody to come experience the Inn on the Square, don't you?
Oh, we love it. I mean, just come on in and have some fun. We're going to actually be the party town, the play to have, you know, something to do around town. This is us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim McGinnis, it's so nice to meet you, and I hope you'll be tuning in to 98.5, our new FM branch right here in Greenwood.
98.5, we love it.
That's right. Not too hot, not too cool. Just right.
Perfect.
Thank you, Jim.
Yes.
All right, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds, too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right down here at the Inn on the Square, having a great time. I tell you what, we are right here at the Inn on the Square. We're actually set up, I believe it's in the Starlight Room. What could be better, folks? We are surrounded by golfers, and more golfers getting ready to... the legends are all staying here at the Inn on the Square, so they will be headed out to the course. But before they head out, we have a whole list of legend golfers that we're going to be talking to. So this is really, really exciting. So I certainly hope you're going to stay right with us right here on WCRS 1450 AM, but the new WCRS 98.5 FM on your radio dial. Some people haven't gotten the word, so if you're listening to us on the AM and you'd like to even hear a richer, more better sound, just go ahead and change that dial. 98.5. We're not too hot and we're not too cold. We're just right here in South Carolina. Well, coming up in a few minutes, we've got the first golfer that we're going to be talking to is Cindy Miller, that's right. She has her own golfing school, consults in golf. She is a pretty awesome person that I feel pretty privileged to be able to talk to. We've already, I think, posted a few pictures on Facebook, have we? Yep, we've already posted some on Facebook, WCRS.AM Radio. I'm looking across the table here. I see Nancy Lopez over there. I see Jim Medford is getting ready to eat some breakfast here. He's here to make sure everything is going good and making sure the gals make it out to the links of Stony Point. You're going to want to make sure you get out to the links of Stony Point today. Two things going on out there at the links of Stony Point. Here you go. If you want to sit down and talk to me early, we can do this. Yeah, does that sound great? Yeah, I can talk to you. I'm Ann Eller. Cindy Miller, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
You know, I was doing a little research last night on you, and I happened to come across, did you want to turn the camera on there? Turn the camera on. It says, suck it up, be a big girl, and hit the golf ball. Where did that come from, Cindy Miller?
Well, it was on The Big Break. It's a reality show on the Golf Channel. And I was the token old lady of this reality show, right? Everybody else was 25, and I was a 48-year-old. And it was really scary. You know, I applied to be on the show because I wanted to learn how to compete and play under pressure because I wanted to win a Legends Tour event, right? And so...
Like you've never had any pressure before?
Well, but, I mean, you know, when there's 70 cameras in your face and there's 83 million households that could be watching you and your son is like, don't do that, you're going to make a jerk of yourself, you know? So that was...
pressure.
That's pressure. So it was like, suck it up, be a big girl and hit a shot.
That was a great quote. But you have gone on and done an awesome job with being a corporate trainer and using golf as a way to train and teach people how to play golf, too.
I have, because, you know, we all know that golf is a great relationship-building tool. And
for men, it's particularly good, but what about for women?
Oh, it's even better for women. And women are so intimidated by learning how to play. They're afraid to go out there. So I wrote this book, Golf 101 for Executives, and I take them by the hand and I say, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be scary. You can do this. So it's fun.
Well, what would be, you know, I was thinking about, you know, if we could get one really good tip from somebody that teaches golf, what would be that really good tip?
The ball goes where the face points.
The ball goes where the face points.
And you're the only one that's holding the club. So learn to control the face, and you can tell the ball what to do.
That sounds like being the boss.
Yeah, I like being the boss. I'm a bit of a control freak, yeah.
Well, how did you get involved in golf?
My parents played, and they dragged me to the golf course every weekend, and I thought it was stupid, and I got fat in eighth grade, and the cute boys at the pool were starting to call me 10-ton Tessie, and I avoided the pool at all costs, and the only other option was golf.
So then you must have lost weight.
I did. And now the cute boys are like, oh, wow, she got good.
And they saw you on The Big Break.
Yeah, it's amazing what motivates you, right?
Exactly. So where did you go to school?
I went to the University of Miami. I was a walk-on in Coral Gables, Florida. We won two national championships, and I graduated an All-American, which was fun.
So what made you want to go on and become a LPGA golfer?
You know, it's funny. My mom took me to an LPGA event when I was 17 years old, and I saw Laura Ball playing, and I saw this beautiful golf bag with her name on it and brand-new shoes and great clothes. I was like, I want to beat her.
Was it for the shoes and the clothes?
Probably.
Isn't that what motivates us sometimes? Boy, they look great.
Yeah, exactly. And then the golf swings, and no, the shoes aren't too good today.
She's in casual shoes, folks.
But it's funny how they swing so smooth and the ball goes so far, and I just sat there with my mouth hanging open, like, wow, this is amazing. I want to do this.
Who taught you to play golf?
Joseph Odney, and there were a bunch of other pros, but my husband, who played on the PGA Tour for 15 years, Alan Miller, is my mentor and my guru. He's my wisdom Yoda guy.
Do you ever find it's a problem, though, having your husband as your mentor, you to guide? My husband and I own Sharp Facets, and I own this radio station, and we work together all the time. Does it ever get to be a problem? I mean, you can tell me, I understand.
Well, you know, it's funny. I went to a seminar one time, and this woman was talking about how her husband drove her crazy, and I started to sit up and pay attention, and she had written a book called Personality Plus. And I bought the book, and I took the test for me, and then, of course, I had to take it for him. And once I
had to take it for him? Anybody catch that? She said she had to take it for him. Is he the same age as you, or is she older?
He's old. He's an old man.
I'm married to an old man, too. I understand this. We can talk. Yeah. And Emerald understands this because she works with us, and she sees what goes on.
Yeah, good. Well, you have to train him, you know.
Is that my problem? I've never trained him. He's trained me.
I teach wife school, too, so...
Wife school. I like this.
I can help you.
What's one tip you could give me here today, Kathy Miller?
Cindy Miller.
Cindy.
Learn when to shut up and how to change what you're saying. I'm very blunt, and I used to, like, just slam him, and now I think before I speak, and then I get my way, and then it works.
How long have you been married?
34 years.
About the same time as we have. Yeah, okay. So, as you're here from, have you ever been to Greenwood before?
I've never been here. I'm from Buffalo, New York. We drove.
You drove?
It's a long way.
It's a long way, and kind of off the beaten path.
Yeah, but it's cool, because I'm a hick, and I live in I say I'm from Buffalo, but I'm from a little town of 2,500 people south of Buffalo. But I like being a hick, and I like small towns, and it kind of looks like Silver Creek, only Greenwood's a lot bigger than Silver Creek, so it's really cool, and I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm so glad I was invited.
So when did you arrive?
Last night.
Okay, so have you been out to the links? You haven't been on the course out there yet?
I have not been to the course. I'm looking forward to it, and it's funny because I co-host a radio show as well, which I should have you on.
Oh, I'd love it.
And we have the Symetra Tour players on every week. It's on Tuesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m.
And where does that out of?
It's on Blog Talk Radio. It streams.
Oh, it streams. Well, we're streaming right now, too. In fact, we will do a podcast of this, so you'll be able to have it for you to listen to.
Oh, I would love to do that. Will you send me the information?
Absolutely. If you'll give me some information, I'll be able to send you some information. Well, Cindy Miller, what else can you tell us about yourself? Let's see. You're a golf professional, you're an author, you're a motivational speaker. What have you found about women hold themselves back? We know that. What do you think about the difference, though, in today's young gals growing up and growing up as, what shall we say, we did? I think there's a difference in gals today.
I think they have a little more courage. I think they might be a little feisty, so I like the courage, but I think they need a little wisdom.
Do you think that they don't have any question about the fact that they can do this? And I always think I was like, well, I need to stand back here a little bit and wait to see what happens, whereas today they do seem to just jump in.
They do jump in, and sometimes I think they jump in without thinking. So I think they could get they're a little rough around the edges. I'm glad that they've got courage, but I think they need to be a little more humble.
Be a little more humble. Yeah, that I think you could be very right. So, what would you have you? What girls do you follow on the Symetra Tour? Any particular ones?
I like Casey Kennedy. She's new. I like Augusta James. For some reason, I'm going blank. Alejandra Lanaza.
We talked to her while we were here at the links. Alejandra, yes, from us. There are a couple of Alejandras. Okay.
This one was on the Symetra Tour last year, and now she's on the LPGA Tour. So we've gotten to be kind of friends, and she's amazing. So I like watching them, and I just like watching them grow and learn to believe in themselves and trust their game and their abilities and be successful. Fun.
It is fun. We talked to the Alejandra that is from South America, went to Duke, and she was, I think it takes a lot of courage, doesn't it, to come from another country, come here to the United States, and start playing on the tour. I'm amazed at the number of girls that do this.
Yes, there are, but you know what? A lot of them play in college, so they're getting recruited out of high school to come to the United States and play in college, so they get, most of them get 4 years of learning and acclimating and having a coach and a team to work with and getting comfortable and, you know, becoming more confident.
I think that's great. So, on the Legends Tour, looking forward to the game. You've got going out there to practice this afternoon?
I am. I haven't played much in Buffalo. It's not snowing right now, but it's still about 50 and raining.
I'm from Maine originally. I understand this.
Yeah. But we have a dome. We have a big covered dome. It's 100 yards long with 48 stations up and down, so two floors. It's really nice. So I have been hitting balls.
Okay, so you're looking forward to this, $100,000 purse. I guess you want to win this, right?
I do want to win this, but I want to play well. I've been working on my swing and working on my game, and I just got new clubs, and I'm on staff with Callaway now, which I'm really thrilled about, and I just got brand new clubs, and I haven't used them. So I'm lowering my expectations.
He has lowered expectations. Can you believe that, coming from a person that inspires other people to play golf?
Well, you have to be realistic, right? And I have to be realistic, so I don't want to get ticked off when I'm out there, because I've learned one thing, that she who misses it best without getting ticked wins.
Could you say that again?
She who misses it best without getting ticked off wins.
Wow, that's awesome. I guess we could use that in a lot of different things, couldn't we?
We probably could.
Well, I certainly hope you do really, really well. We do have a special little gift bag for here. Yes, a swag bag.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
And in it, yes, you've got something to keep you cool.
That's good, because I sweat like a pig.
And we also have a payday, because I know all legends like payday.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Oh, my gosh.
And there's something else in there, too, isn't there? There should be a little, yes, there it is. There it is. There's a card. It has an amethyst in it, which is South Carolina State Stone.
And that's my first stone. Wow. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And it's supposed to guard against drunkenness, too.
Well, that's good.
And the largest deposit of amethyst is in Due West, which is about 15 miles in the whole North American continent.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Isn't this cool?
Yeah, I'm going to make a necklace out of this.
Well, all righty then.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, we are so glad, Cindy Miller, that you sat down and talked with us here today.
Nice to meet you. I think we could get in trouble together.
I think we could, too. Let's hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Last year, lottery players took home more than $924 million, but they weren't the only winners. Since the lottery launched in 2002, more than 1.4 million scholarships have been awarded to South Carolina students, and millions have gone to support K-12 and community education programs. So when you play the South Carolina Education Lottery, you're not just taking a chance, you're also giving one. For more information, visit sceducationlottery.com.
All right, I am here with Wesley Oldham. He is one of the partners here at the Inn on the Square. And what do you think about what's happening here this week, Wesley?
We couldn't be happier. The place is filled. We've got the legends here. We got more events coming up today. We've got the Kentucky Derby. We want all the ladies to come and wear their hats for prizes. And it looks like a big event that's going to be in, of course.
And you're going to have mint juleps, right?
Absolutely. And we've got a huge Mother's Day brunch coming up for Sunday right after this. So we're very busy, and with the golf going on, it's our crew is wearing thin, but they're doing a great job.
Now, I need to ask you, because you look like a man that could be in retirement, but you took on this project not very long ago. Why?
Because I was getting out of the construction business, and I could see I was going to flunk out of retirement, that I wasn't going to make the goal. And this project came up, and of course, I had a great opportunity to team up with Jim McGinnis, who's the general manager and part owner. Timing was right. Greenwood was great, and we just took the ball and ran with it.
Well, you made a great decision. We certainly are glad. It was so sad when the Inn on the Square closed several years ago, and then, of course, Lander took it over for a while. But to see it back as a vibrant place that we can come and hang out and have guests come and be really proud is really, really awesome.
Well, we appreciate everything that Greenwood has done for us. The town has been great to us, and we are still learning. Every day it's something new for us, so it's in motion, and we want to keep it that way.
And where are you from? You don't live here.
No, I live in Jupiter, Florida. It's a 9-hour drive up here or a 7-hour flight, either way you want to do it, to get to Greenwood.
We're a little off the beaten path, but well worth coming, don't you think?
That's what makes it so great, I think. I think that's what keeps you guys doing as well as you do with the community, and everybody's part of the community. And that's what we love about this town.
Have you got any, I did talk to Jim earlier, any visions that you see for the Inn on the Square?
We just want to kind of keep going the way we are and make it a slow process, but do it right. We've got great people coming in here. The food's fantastic here. But it's you know, we're still a learning process for us, and we also love comments on what people would like to see us do. We're ready for that as well.
Well, it's going to be a real fun weekend. You've got the Kentucky Derby party going on. Everybody needs to come out this afternoon, 4 to 9, and see the Kentucky Derby. I think starts around 6:30 or something like that. But you're starting around 4 o'clock. Are you anticipating people watching the Derby?
Yeah, well, maybe with one eye closed, but yeah, that's what we're hoping for. We're anxious to see the ladies with their hats, and that's going to be a great event, just that in itself.
That's right, and there's going to be prizes too, I understand.
That's correct, a lot of prizes.
Well, listen, I am so glad to get to talk to you and meet you right here on WCRS. Thanks so much for taking some time away from your breakfast and talking to us this morning.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. We are having a good time right here at the Inn on the Square right here. So please, please, please come on down. Check out the new, everything new. They've got a great buffet. Not only that, they're having a great Kentucky Derby party this afternoon. So it starts at 4 o'clock. Dress up, wear your hat, and look great. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, I'm being told I'm on the air. Okay, and I'm just asking questions left and right here. I have the opportunity to sit right here with Chris Cheddar. She is another legend right here, staying here at the Inn on the Square. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
It is great for to be here, and we just love it. And, you know, we were trying to get some info on you a little earlier, and we were told, as well as being a great golfer, I mean, that you make awesome cookies.
I do make, well, I make
other
cookies.
Legends told us this.
I make cookies. I don't know how awesome they are, but I did bring some this week for the staff. So,
okay. And what kind of cookies did you bring?
Well, they're called monster cookies. They're peanut butter, oatmeal, chocolate chip, M&M. They've got a little bit of everything. No flour, though. There's no flour in these cookies.
Wow.
So, you know, maybe not quite as much gluten.
So everybody wanted me to see if I could get the secret out of you right here on the radio. Nobody will know, Chris, just you and me, if you could tell us what your secret is to making these great monster cookies.
Oh, it's all the love I put into them.
So you're a lover of cookies.
I'm a lover. That really is. When I was growing up, I loved to bake, but the truth was I loved to eat what I baked. So, and now as I've gotten older, I realize, okay, I love to bake, but I can't eat it, so I bake it and then I give it away.
Do you like to eat the dough? I mean, I'm just asking because I like to eat the dough.
Doesn't everyone?
Yeah. I just didn't know if I was the only one that liked the dough, too.
On special occasions, I'll put a little cookie dough in my kids' lunches, and it's like their favorite thing. I'm not sure if that makes me a good or a bad mom.
It makes you a good mom. It's understanding what's important.
Can I have that in writing to bring back to my kids? Because now they're 11 and 13, and it's kind of at that age where sometimes, maybe most of the time for my 13-year-old, she really doesn't like me very much. The 11-year-old still does, and I know that I'm, you know, less than a year away probably.
But you know, the thing about it is, Mother's Day is coming up tomorrow. And of course, years from now, this is probably one of the things you'll get a card that says, Mom, could we have a little cookie dough?
That's probably true.
Because isn't it always the memories that, you know, that are farthest away, you know, and someday you go, God, I wish I could have some of that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you get interested in golf?
I grew up in South Dakota, and
are there golf courses out there?
There's a few. It's actually a huge golf town. And in fact, there's a Symetra Tour event in Sioux Falls as well.
Yes, they learned how to do it here at Greenwood. Yes, I interviewed them. Yes.
You are absolutely right. They came here because they heard that this was the best one.
Yes, and then see what happened is Jim boasted about having the largest purse on the Symetra Tour, and then what happened is they went back and they upped it $5,000 or $10,000 more. So now Jim had to go to $250 to try to stop it.
I love it. Well, you know, a little healthy competition's always good.
It is. So you grew up in South Falls.
Sioux Falls, yes, in South Dakota. And my whole family played, and I was just always exposed to it. As an afterthought, my parents took me, well, they were taking my brother to the Junior World in San Diego when I was 10. And as an afterthought, they said, well, there's a 10 and under age bracket. You know, do you want to play, Chris? And I said, you know, sure. And I ended up finishing second. And I loved it. You know, everyone was congratulating me. And actually, in the last tournament that I was playing in, I was walking from like 16 to 17, and this girl comes up to me and she's like, hi, Chris, you would not remember me. My name's Karen Nicoletti. And I was like, oh my God, you won the Junior World when we were 10.
That's a great story.
So, oh my, it was so funny. So I got to just chat with her a little bit, and I told her, I'm like, did you happen to read my book? Because your name's in there. And so I ended up sending her a copy of it.
That's pretty cool.
Now, underlined her name.
You went through the whole thing.
When I was 10, I said, can we have a rematch?
You know, isn't that funny that something like that significant, but still not huge at the time, was memorable to you?
Oh, it was hugely important to me.
What did that experience then do for you?
Well, I think I just really realized how much I loved playing in tournaments. That has always been fun for me. You know, I say when you walk around and look at your putt from both sides, you know, sometimes when you're just out practicing, you don't take that time. But playing in a tournament, you know, you're just really grinding out every shot, and I've always loved that.
What would you have to say to somebody that was a young gal that was wanting to play golf, maybe someone that isn't in the tournament yet but is got grandparents or parents here and they might be listening here this morning? What would you have to say?
Well, I think it's always important to have fun and love what you're doing, and that's probably why I've been playing this game for this long. I've always just loved the game.
And allowed you to go out and work off the cookies.
Exactly. And I love practicing and you know, really working at something to get better.
That's very cool. Now, you also wrote a book. I can't believe I'm sitting next to somebody who wrote a book about a legend and actually was mentored by him. Who was that?
Well, I was very fortunate when I was in college to be a member at Shady Oaks Country Club in Fort Worth, where Ben Hogan was a member. And
The Ben Hogan,
yeah. And everybody told, my brother and I were both at TCU, and we were members there, and everybody told us, you know, you don't bother Mr. Hogan, you don't say hello unless he says hello. You do not talk to him.
Avert your eyes.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I did at first, and then I thought, you know, I'm just going to be myself. I say hello to every other person that walks by, and then I see him and act like I didn't see him. And so I just was myself, and I would say hello, and I think he noticed how much I was working at it and how much I loved the game, and he sort of took me under his wing and really let me get to know a side of him that he didn't really let most people see, and it was this softer, funny side. And I was just really, really lucky, and people kept on me about writing a book about it. And I don't consider myself an author, but I finally did get that done. And I'm really happy I did, because people have loved seeing this other side of him.
But how was it to have somebody take you under your wing, a legend? Did it make you nervous to feel that you are getting instruction from somebody that has done it all and been all?
Well, I was young enough to really not understand the significance of it at the time. People were telling me that I should be nervous, but I didn't really know enough about it, I think, to be as nervous as I should have been.
Do you look back at now and say, oh, my God, this is what I did and this is how I acted?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think about, you know, he would practice for hours, and people would be 10 feet away watching him, and they, you know, the thing was, they'd say, you know, he never said a word. And then I think about me being out there with him, and it got to the point where he would just come out, and he would hit his balls, and then I would hit my balls, and we'd go pick them up and do it again. And I was saying something after every shot that was hit. You know, I'd hit one, and I'd be like, oh, I didn't like that. You know, what did that look like? Oh, I'm going to hit my 7-iron. And then he'd be hitting, and I'd go, how did that one feel? That one sounded good. You know, it was always something.
Something about you.
Well, yeah, probably. As an 18-year-old, I mean, all I cared about was my golf game. And so I wasn't asking him the burning questions, you know, what's your secret? I hear you've got a secret. You know, I wasn't asking things like that. And I think that's probably ultimately why he opened up and trusted me enough to help me with my golf game. But all I cared about was getting better myself. As an 18, 19-year-old college student who, you know, only thinks about themselves.
Very egocentric, yes, that would
yes.
be correct. Now, and so as you progressed in golf, did he get to see how you did?
He did. He died in 1997, so I had won the mixed team with Billy Andrade, and I won a tournament in Minnesota in, like, 1992, and, you know, that was before internet or anything. So, you know, I actually got to call and tell him that I won a tournament, not just call and, you know, he'd already seen it.
Right.
So
I bet he was proud.
He was. He was probably the most understanding of a lot of the people in my life who I would talk to about golf. Like, he knew how hard it was.
Yeah. And you know, and that has to be that has to be to look back on that experience and now to have a book out on it. What's the name of the book?
It's called Mr. Hogan, the Man I Knew.
And I guess that you would have, is there any other chapters you could add now that it's now that you've had some time?
Well, chapters that I would add would probably be stories that I've heard since then where people have written me or, you know, called me, whatever, found me and said, you know, I want to tell you this story. And it's always about him, Mr. Hogan, being generous, doing something out of the ordinary, and then telling people, you know, don't tell anyone. And then, so now that I've heard this these stories and they say, but I figure I can tell you. And I mean, I've gotten hundreds of them.
So I guess that sounds like another book.
Oh, boy, it was a hard, hard thing. I'm not sure I could do that again. But it was well worth it.
Letters from his fans?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that sounds great. So have you haven't played this course before, have you? Have you been here? How long?
I have been here before, yep. So I have seen the course. But, you know, as you get older, the memory gets a little fuzzy, so it'll probably feel like new to me out there today.
Well, we are just thrilled that you are here. In fact, we have a little gift for you that we have put together for our legends. If we'd known you were doing cookies, we would love to have added some cookies to the bag.
No, you're supposed to give them away so you don't eat them all.
But it has something to keep you cool.
Nice.
It has an amethyst stone, which is our state stone from South Carolina. Yes, it also prevents against drunkenness, just in case you need to know that. And it also has... in here is a payday.
Oh, nice.
Because legends like paydays, too.
That's right. We definitely do.
Thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. We are right here on WCRS, and we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
As Kitty Wells once sang,
all records bring back memories.
That's what we do on From Trash to Treasures Along a Country Road. Classic Country Memories, 9 to 12 Saturday morning on 1450 AM and on the internet at WCRS1450AM.net.
Good old records bring back memories.
All right. Breaker, breaker, 1-9, we've got an important announcement from right here at the Inn on the Square. Yes, I'm right here in Greenwood, and I tell you what, this is going to be the battle of the broadcasters right here, right now. I've got Jane Crafty Crafter right here with me. She is a editor for Golf Digest, and she is ESPN, NBC, golfing for women. She talks about it on the air. How you doing today, Jane?
I am doing great, and great to be here in Greenwood. My first visit, and it's great to be back in the South. I lived in North Carolina in Pinehurst for a while, and now I live in Arizona in Phoenix, and it's fun to be back here where there's lush green grass and grits.
Now, Jane, I've got to say, you don't sound like you're from around here, though.
No, it's funny. When I first moved to the U.S., I used to get that at all the drive-thrus. You know, they go, you're not from around here, are you? And I go, no, I'm from the South, but South Australia. So I came over here in 1981 to play on the tour and left behind a pharmacy degree. I worked as a pharmacist for a few years. But you know what? I decided that golf was a much more fun path to take, and here I am, still here.
You decided hitting golf balls was better than pushing pills?
Yeah, absolutely. Not to say that I didn't love being a pharmacist. I really did. It was a great career to fall back on. I kind of gave myself a five-year plan when I first came over here in 1981. And you know what? The golf worked out. And as I retired from the LPGA in 2004, I started doing some television broadcasting towards the end of my career for NBC and ESPN. And then once I stopped playing full-time, I just decided to kind of ramp that up a little bit. So it worked out. It's worked out really well.
I would be interested, what made you take the leap of faith to come here to the United States? Now, did you get to start right on the LPGA Tour?
Well, I first came over, as I said, in 1981, and I had a very good amateur career. I represented Australia a few times and actually did get to play in an LPGA event as an amateur in Canada. And, I didn't feel like I played my best, but only missed the cut by, like, one shot, I think. So I thought, you know what, why not give it a try? I was 25, and I thought if I left it much longer, that would be too late. So I sold my car, packed up, and a couple of suitcases and a golf bag and came over. I look back on it and I go, wow, that was really brave. But, you know, when you're following a dream, and a path that you think that might work out for you, you just go for it. So that's what I did.
So when did you start playing golf?
I started when I was 6. My dad is a golf pro and also his brother was a golf pro as well. So I had one brother and we started as little kids on the par 3 course in Adelaide. And you know what? We followed Dad to his golf course, and we played, and he gave us great instruction, never forced us to play golf. And, you know, here I am. My brother is actually a golf course architect now. He has a Bachelor of Architecture, and that was something my dad really loved, was designing golf courses. So they went into business together, and then after my dad passed away, my brother kept it going, and he's doing really well.
And is that in Australia?
Yes, it is. Craft & Mogford Golf Strategies, and they've got a lot of neat courses that they've designed and that they're redesigning. So, I'm pretty proud of my little brother.
Do you ever go back there and play in Australia?
Well, not so much play, but I go back every year to do TV for the two large events that are down there, the Women's Australian Open and the Australian Ladies Masters. I did play in both pro-ams there this year, which was a lot of fun from the ladies' tees. And I think I was a little bit of a help to my team. It was fun to play, you know, with the LPGA and Ladies European Tour pros. And I think, you know, I opened their eyes a little bit to see, even though maybe we old girls don't hit it so far, we still have good short games, and they can still learn a lot from us, which is kind of cool that now, being here in Greenwood, we're affiliated with the Symetra Tour, the Legends Tour. So we like to be able to give back and mentor these younger players as much as we can.
Absolutely. Now, I would like to hear a little... you broadcasting golf. I mean, do you talk? She's getting ready to tee it up right now, and I wonder what she's thinking. Could you give us a little sample?
Yeah, sure. Okay, we've got Lydia Coe's on the tee, and this difficult par four, dog legs to the right. She's got about 245 yards to carry this right-hand fairway bunker. And with a little bit of wind in her face, she's really going to have to hit this extremely well to carry this bunker.
That is excellent. Do you think anybody listens to you while you're broadcasting this?
I sure hope so.
No, I meant not people. I meant the person that is teeing off here.
Well, perhaps. I don't know. I have a great relationship with all the players. And, you know, someone like Lydia Ko, who's from New Zealand, who's the world number one and only 19, I mean, I've been watching her play golf and commentating on her really since she's been, you know, middle teens, when she won the New South Wales Open professional event as an amateur at that age. So these kids are incredible, and it's a lot of fun to watch them, you know, even though you're from inside the ropes and not playing with them. But, you know, they're just incredible what they can do at this age. It's amazing.
I'm always very impressed how poised they are, because we get to interview a lot of the Symetra girls, and I'm just so impressed with how poised and how driven they really are, but they don't try to take themselves so seriously when you're talking to them.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I think all through women's professional ranks, that's something that I think we can be very proud of. It's not only how poised we are, but how fan-friendly we are, how focused and driven, but there's never too much time or never too much, you know, seriousness that you can't interact, you know, with people like yourself, with radio, with the fans, with the sponsors. And I think that's why, you know, the Symetra Tour, the LPGA and the Legends Tour really have a lot to offer.
You know, one last question. I would love to know what you think the future of women's golf. I think women have worked so hard to bring the game of golf. And, of course, the PGA, they get all the big bucks. What do you think about the future as we move forward with golf?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. I know there's the LPGA has entered into this strategic alliance with the PGA Tour. Now, I don't know what that holds really for the future, but I think that's certainly a positive step. I would like to see eventually some sort of level of equal pay for equal play.
What a concept.
Yeah, well, you know, women's tennis, you know, has achieved that, even though there's still some controversy about that. You know, we certainly bring in the fans. You know, we may not be Tiger Woods, but I tell you what we offer, what all these different levels of women's professional golf offer is something different. You know, you play with us in the Pro-Am, you play with the Symetra Tour players in the Pro-Am, you will have an experience to remember, and one that will not only help your game, but you'll have a lot of fun. So, yeah, let's see if maybe we can, you know, raise the purse levels would be awesome. But, you know, thanks to Jim Medford for having us all here. I can't wait to play the links out there at Stony Point, and I'm going to go out there and have a practice round this afternoon, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Jane, thanks so much for talking to us, and we have a very special gift for you here today. It is our own little gift bag that we are giving you. One, the state stone for South Carolina is amethyst, so there's an amethyst in there for you. It's the largest deposit of amethyst in the North American continent. It's about 15 miles from right here.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. What a beautiful color. That is absolutely delightful. Thank you.
That's right. And you also get a something to keep you cool, because legends need to be cool.
Yes.
And, of course, there is something else in here. I hope there is. Yes, here it is. I'm finding it. Just give me a second. Here it is. A payday, because even legends like paydays.
Oh, that's great. We love paydays. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for talking to us, Jane.
Absolutely. I'm delighted. Thank you.
All right. Hey, let's hear a quick word. We'll be right back. We got another golfer standing in the wings. Don't you go away.
Hi, this is Rob Gilchrist, voice of the Emerald Vikings, and I want to tell you about Romac Trophies and Signs. Romac Trophies and Signs maintains specialized service and offers their customers personalized and customized attention. Are you looking for a special way to reward your employees or team? Try a trophy, acrylic award, plaque, or medal. Romac Trophies and Signs adds your company or organization's logo and engrave your award to make it more personal. Visit their huge showroom in the Hampton Place Shopping Center and let Romac Trophies and Signs help you select the perfect gift for retirement or employee recognition. Are you coaching a team and want to recognize your players? Romac Trophies and Signs custom builds trophies on site to fit your budget and your individual needs. Romac is a proud sponsor of WCRS and sponsors the Player of the Week for Emerald Viking football. That's Romac Trophies and Signs at the Hampton Place Shopping Center in Greenwood. Call them today at 864-229-9277.
Right here on WCRS. Right now, we are in Greenwood, South Carolina. We are on 1450 AM. That was our regular station, and now we've added 98.5. Not too hot, not too cool, just right, right here in Greenwood. And I have Lori Kane, and we were just talking about the fact she is from Canada, and I'm, of course, originally from Maine. A lot of people want to know where I'm from, and I'm from a little town called South Paris, Norway, Maine. It's about 30 minutes from Lewiston, Maine.
Yeah, I know Lewiston because I've often made the trek from Prince Edward Island, where I'm from, Charlottetown, down through Maine into Florida, where I have a nice place to call home as well at Lake Nona Country Club.
There you go. So, Lori Kane, you grew up in Canada, Prince Edward Island, a very lovely place up there, I might add. A little cool.
Very cool. And
like cold.
Some would say, how did you ever get to golf? But I always say, you know, our weather is yours growing up in Maine. Whatever Boston got, we got a few days later. And, you know, we played golf 3-4 months of the year. And at that
you
time,
couldn't get tired of it only playing it 3 or 4 months a year.
My point. I didn't get tired and therefore got maybe a little hungrier to want to be to where I'm sitting right now with you here in Greenwood.
Well, one of the things that I was noticing reading over your bio is that you enjoy all sports, especially hockey. Why hockey? Did you ever play?
I never played. I come from a family of all girls, but my dad, Jack, was the hockey coach at the University of Prince Edward Island. And Dad picked up golf later in his life, but both my mom and dad were very athletic, still are today. And golf was, you know, the thing was I wanted to be a professional athlete. I love sports. Sports was my outlet. And, you know, back in, well, let's say 20 years ago, there wasn't many other professional sports, and the LPGA was where I wanted to be, and golf has afforded me some great luxuries for sure.
Well, you know, when you talk about golf now, how did you learn to play? Did your dad teach you, or did you have somebody that really influenced you?
My dad taught me. My dad, being very athletic, as I said, he taught himself through Hogan's book of the Five Fundamentals. So that's how I was taught. I can probably count the coaches I've had on one hand. You know, I think I'm a pretty natural, gifted athlete, and I know when I was growing up and Dad did show me how to play, that we had some rather heated debates as to how much time I should be spending on the golf course when I was, let's say, 14, 15, 16. He believed that God had given me a gift and that I needed to put it to work, and I guess I owe an awful lot to my parents, because I wouldn't be sitting here with you if they hadn't have given me that extra little shove and encouragement. But, you know,
did it ever make you want to go away from the game of golf, though?
Yes, it did. In fact, I probably spent the summer I was 13 or 14 at my grandparents' cottage, and I don't know how much Dad and I talked that summer, but I'll tell you where I was the next summer, and that was right back at the golf course, wanting to play more than I ever did. So, what I was going to say is Joanne Carner and I share something, and that Joanne didn't turn pro until she was 30, and I didn't turn pro until I was about 29 or 30. So, you know, the youth movement that we have in the game now is incredible. I'm just not sure that there are going to be any more Julie Inksters or Joanne Carners that continue to play the game well into their later years.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about, Lori, is hockey and golf. You know, they both use a stick. Is there anything else that is in a relationship to that, since your dad was a hockey coach at the university there, and then he took up golf? It must have been, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe there's a similarity. Obviously, in hockey, the guys are in motion or girls are in motion when they're swinging or taking a slap shot. But if you think about the couple of feet behind the ball for us, behind the puck for them, the impact is the same. And they want to hit the stick or the puck as hard as they can, as we would like to. You know, I always say swing it harder, not faster. Mm-hmm. But the impact zone, I would say, in any ball stick game is pretty similar.
So you could go out and play hockey, maybe?
I can skate, and yes, I can go with a stick. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know that I would be. Well, we play a little shinny every Christmas time, so no, I'm not
a little shinny.
I'm not great.
What's a little shinny? A
little shinny is like pond hockey.
Okay, I understand.
You are from Maine.
Yes, I am from Maine. Yes, I've skated on many ponds.
That's right. Perfect.
Yeah, outside, not inside, not in a shopping mall.
Correct.
And now, just out of curiosity, being from Canada, are you? There aren't a lot of golfers from Canada, are there?
Well, so some would think that I was probably the first one on tour, on the LPGA tour, and I'm not. Nancy White blazed the way for us, and I grew up playing junior golf with Nancy in Montague, Prince Edward Island, where my dad was the head pro at Brudenell. We have a ton. You know, we got a green jacket with Mike Weir. We've got a bunch of young guys that are doing well, but we have a superstar in Brooke Henderson who's just turned 18. I think she'll probably be 19 sometime this fall. Won late last fall on tour, and she's our rising star. But yes, we have a lot of great young talent. I think as Canadians, we tend to do things a little bit later. I know, thanks to the U.S. college programs, we've had a lot of young Canadian women go to school, get their degrees, and they're now making their way to, you know, the other side of golf, and that's on the professional side. So currently this week here at Greenwood, Augusta James, I was checking out the leaderboard, and the young Swede has quite a run going, but Augusta had a good solid two rounds, and I think is sitting in the top 10. So I'll be out there today when I'm practicing to see how she's getting along.
Now, I understand golf is coming up at the Olympics this summer. So any chance you'll be playing?
You know, my ultimate goal was to try to make our team, but with the world rankings and unfortunately my form wasn't the best in the last couple of years. So no, I probably will not be representing Canada, but our team will be very strong in Brooke Henderson, and to this date right now Elena Sharp would be our second player. You know, I'll be interested to see what Rio does for golf. I hope that it's a real shot in the arm for the development of the game across the globe. I would also like them to see, maybe it's a 72-hole stroke play event. I think that we could have, you know, really done something exciting on a team level because they're individual medals, and I think for our sport, a team medal would have been really fun.
That sounds great. Well, have you played Greenwood before?
I have not. I arrived yesterday afternoon and was out to the golf course, the links, and had a look around and did some putting, and I'm really looking forward to getting out there this morning to play a practice round.
Absolutely. Well, we, Lori Kane, just wanted to give you a little present from us here at WCRS. So we do have this awesome gift bag,
right?
Something to keep you cool. I don't know if you need that, but something to keep you cool. An amethyst stone from here in South Carolina. The largest deposit of amethyst in the North American continent is in Due West, which is about 15 miles away. And we certainly hope you will enjoy it, and we also hope that you get a big... Here we go. I got it right here. Payday, because legends like paydays.
We certainly do.
Thank you very much, Lori. Have a great time.
Appreciate it. Enjoyed being here, and I look forward to hearing you on the radio again.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. We'll get Lori's information so we can send her a podcast on this one. We've been having a great time here this morning. I think we're about time for another legend to come over here and talk to us. My goodness, I have lost track with how many people we have sat down here and talked to, and it's been so much fun here today. We have the one and only... Okay, all right, we're going to get a picture here. Okay, get a picture. All right, they're getting a picture with the one and only Nancy Lopez. Okay, there you go. She loves to have her picture taken. She is a real ham. She is a real ham right here. How you doing, Nancy Lopez?
I'm great, thank you.
What do you think about what we're doing here with the Breakfast Club this morning?
It's awesome. I love you, Ann. You're just so great at this. This is pretty super.
Yeah, I'm enjoying myself. We're having a lot of good conversation, getting to meet some more of the legends, and what a great opportunity to for Greenwood to get to know some of the people here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really want everybody to come out this weekend, and I know that some Metro players have been playing, and you know, golf is such a great game, and to be able to bring, you know, people and your friends, everybody out on the golf course, it's a great place to be. And the weather's going to be really nice. It might be a little warm, but, you know, it's supposed to be.
It's been a little cool.
Yeah, I know people probably want to get out. But it's a great place to bring your family and just have a great day out there. And I know they're putting on a great event also.
Absolutely. Now, you're playing in the Legends Tour, and you have played here at the Links of Stony Point many times. So I would expect you should have an advantage.
Well, I hope so. But I love it here. You know, it's just such a warm, inviting place. And, you know, to be able to come here, Jim Medford and everyone, all the volunteers that's been involved, they do such a great job. And I just want to tell them thank you, too, for doing that. And, of course, everyone that's covering the event, thank them for doing that, too, because, like I said, golf is a great sport. And if we can bring people out, I love the game of golf. We'll always promote it, and, you know, we like to get those women out there watching because we get a lot of men out, but we want women to come out and learn.
Why do you think there's a lot of men watching, Nancy?
Well, not because of that, Ann. But I think, you know, men play golf. Women are usually home raising children and have jobs and stay very busy. They don't have time to do that, but I look at women, I always tell them, you know, we need to recharge our batteries, too, and be able to go on the golf course late in the afternoon and just maybe hit a few putts, chip a little bit, you know, just give us some time for ourselves because, you know, women are the caregivers. They're the ones that are taking care of everybody. But if we can get them out there on the golf course to have a good time, we want women to play the game of golf. And there are a lot of people, a lot of women that are joining the game of golf and starting to play and having a great time at it.
You're listening to WCRS Radio, the voice of Greenwood.
Of golf is a corporate level to be able to know how to go out and play a game of golf with some guys and negotiate some deals is a good thing. I think a lot of women are intimidated with playing with men.
Oh, absolutely. I have Nancy Lopez Golf Adventure that we've talked about before, and we're trying to get these women comfortable so they can go out there and do that because a lot of corporate companies, they have the guys that go out and they make the deals on the golf course because you learn a lot about someone's personality when you're on the golf course, you know, whether you can trust them, you know, do they do the right thing on the golf course, how they comport themselves. And I think for women, they're catching on. They have been doing this for quite a few years now, but that's where they do, you know, get business deals figured out, what they want to do. And the women are now, because there's so many women in the corporate world, they feel like, wow, I've got to do this too. This is a good thing to be able to get on the golf course, not be intimidated, but yet, you know, give them the chance to learn the game so that they feel like they can go out there and be very comfortable with it.
That's right. So this is a game that can improve your money-making because you know how to go out there in the corporate world and swing a golf club.
Absolutely. It's a social event. When you play golf, you know, it does take you a few hours to play the game. And then, of course, usually you have lunch or you go to dinner or you do something either before or after. And that's really where you get a lot of stuff done.
Absolutely. Well, as you get ready to go out and play, I know that you are looking forward to a great afternoon. What do you think about how the girls are doing, the Symetra Tour gals are doing? There seems to be some that are on fire.
Well, I had dinner with Kendall Dye, and she was in my pod on the LPGA when she was on the LPGA full-time. And she said that there was a player that's running away with it right now. But, you know, when they're on the Symetra Tour, there's a lot of things you learn about yourself because, you know, you're trying to get back on the LPGA Tour full-time. You learn how to win. You learn how to deal with the pressure. And it's nice to have a Symetra Tour because back in my day, we didn't have a Symetra Tour. when we didn't qualify for our LPGA card, we basically had to keep working on our game, and a lot of players had to go back and find a job and still be able to work on the game because there was nowhere for them to play. Because once you try and get your card on the LPGA Tour, you are a professional, so you can't play amateur golf anymore. So you're kind of stuck there. So the Symmetric Tour has been a great thing that's happened on the LPGA Tour in so many years now, and gives these girls the opportunity to still work on the game, make a little bit of money. And I know the purse this week is the biggest one they have all year, which is, you know, hats off to Jim and all the people that have made that happen.
That's right. And, of course, the Legends Tour is going to be here Sunday. What a unique idea to put the two together.
Well, I think it's a great idea. Only one other place is doing this. And what it really does is I think the players on the Legends Tour, they're that era that people still remember, the players of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And as you look at the Symmetric Tour players, they're young. A lot of people don't know them yet. But if we can get a few more people on the golf course to watch the Legends, they're going to see these new young players that are trying to make it on the tour. And as they do that, it gives them the opportunity to maybe connect with one of these players so when they can start following them. That's how you create that fan base. And then they go on the LPGA Tour, and then they watch them on the LPGA Tour. And I think it's so important for both of our tours to bring people out, but also to connect them with a new little superstar, hopefully, on the Symmetric Tour.
That's right. And, of course, tomorrow it's going to be a group of Symmetric girls and then a team of Legends girls. Right, girls, and it'll just be a whole lot of fun to be able to watch both.
Well, you know, they're going to alternate. They'll have a Symmetric Tour group, and then the next group will be a Legends Tour group, and then, you know, every other group will be like that. So it'll be fun, and people can watch all kinds of golf, and, of course, just enjoy being on the golf course.
Absolutely. Well, Nancy Lopez, she's so Nancy right here today. That's right. How you doing, Nancy?
I love that. I told everybody when you did that. It was so cute.
Well, we enjoyed doing it for you. Thanks so much, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks for being here.
All right. We enjoyed it. You are listening to WCRS. We do have a lovely gift bag for you.
Thank
as
you.
One of our legends here. You get the thing to keep you nice and cool, a chili. Okay, you also get an amethyst stone right here from South Carolina. And a down inside there is a payday because every legend likes a payday.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't had a payday in forever, but I love them.
Are you talking about making money or food or the candy bar?
I think food.
Nancy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Andy, let's hear a quick break, and we'll be back to finish up. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. I absolutely have caught the Medford man. The big day planned out there. How you doing today, Jim?
Great, Ann. What a great thing this is, the Breakfast Club with you. I think all the legends that are here really seem to enjoy this opportunity, and it was a great idea.
Thank you for helping us pull it off.
That's what we are here for. But, yeah, we have a full day ahead of us out there. This is day six for me because this all started for us on Monday and something going on every night, but today is very special with the legends being here and competing for the first time in Greenwood for their own purse. So they're all heading out there, and I'm going to be running right behind them because they start teeing off at 11:45. And then tonight we have the play, and all the legends are going to be at the play here at the community theater. And it sounds like many of them are going to be at the beer tasting. So that's great for uptown exposure, for uptown Greenwood. And then tomorrow is the big day. They play for a $100,000 purse, intermingled with the Symmetra players. So great day tomorrow. After, of course, a fabulous Mother's Day brunch out there.
Absolutely. Well, Jim Medford, I know you've got to run. I just wanted to say thank you so much for making us part of what goes on with the Symmetra, the Legends, and everything else out there at the Links of Stony Point.
Well, Ann, you are the epicenter of what's happening in Greenwood. So we wouldn't have an event unless you're involved in that.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim Medford. You have a great time. Thanks so much, and we'll be seeing you out there at the course.
Sounds good, Ann. Thanks.
All right. I think I'm about to lose some power here, so I'm going to say adieu to everybody. Have a great one. Make it out there to the links of Stony Point. You'll be glad you did. It's been a lot of fun here this morning. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good one. You are listening to WCRS. Come see us at Shark Facets Gallery. We're open with Mother's Day specials. Don't miss them right there at your favorite jewelry store, Shark Facets Gallery on the 7th. We'll be opening, in about 30 minutes we'll be open, because we'll be back there. Bye-bye, everybody.